Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strongman podcast, Journey of a Bear Class of Man. And today we are continuing our Baladrills series because we didn't do this before for a while first. I don't know why. Today we're going over Baladrills 4 through 6. References for today, ATP 3-21.8, Infantry Platoon and Squad, Appendix J, and TC 3-21.76, Good Old Ranger Handbook.
Yep.
And, you know, our memories. Because this is what we were expected to do for a while. So this stuff is, so this class is based off of the Doctrinal Ranger Handbook. We are going to throw our tidbits in there. You probably learned a lot of different stuff than we did. Don't get mad at us. Get mad at whoever taught you wrong. Or, you know, get mad at us for not doing the right thing. Whatever. I don't care. But this stuff that you should be doing anyways.
Above all else, go thank your recruiter.
That was cold. That was messed up. Some deep
wounds. What I'm here for, man.
Some deep wounds just opened up. So,
oh, I know.
Baladrills 4 through 6. Baladrill 4, react to ambush. Baladrill 5, knock out a bunker. And Baladrill 6, oh, enter and clear a room. If you existed when, you know, all the good old gun tubers and, you know, vet bros and everything, you know, were in their prime, you know what Baladrill 6 is. But we won't sell you snake oil. The infantryman's Bible, the Ranger Handbook.
You mentioned Baladrill 6, and I think half of our audience just got hard.
Good feel. It's like we synced up. We are, and I can't stress this enough. Not a kids podcast. I have the analytics to prove it.
That is true. That is very
Baladrill
true.
4. Baladrill 4. React to near ambush. Pretty sure it's, you know, a lot of stuff will transfer over for a far ambush, but whatever. React to ambush. God help you before we just get into this. Oh,
I actually think Baladrill 4
is the worst.
Yeah, I think Baladrill 4 is actually the most terrifying thing ever.
What?
Followed quickly.
What we're about to talk about it, but screw this.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This sucks. If you're in this situation, life is sucking right now.
You hate your life.
The only way that this could suck any less is if you were getting shot like mortars or rockets at you. Like you're reacting to IDF. That is
reacting to ambush. Oh, the OB Vita. I hate my life. Mm-hmm. Like, no way.
But this is by far the worst situation to ever find yourself in, for sure.
So let's get into it. Situation.
It's probably the most fun practice, though. I'm not going to lie.
It's just murder. Like, it's great.
Spindex!
Murder, death, kill. So, your unit is moving. All the friendlies are moving. They're conducting operations, doing their thing. When the enemy initiates contact with direct fire within hand grenade range, all or part of your friendlies are assuming accurate enemy direct fire. Your enemy initiates contact within hand grenade distance. Actions. What were you gonna say?
That is a hard cue. That is actually the difference between an ambush, a near ambush, and a far ambush. I hate to say it. I hate to be the stickler. Hand grenade range.
And what's hand grenade range?
How far you can throw the hand grenade.
Thank you. That's the right answer. However far you throw, I think doctrinally it's like 15 meters.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the actual doctrine, but I know it's like how far you can throw a grenade.
I was going to say, I watched a lot of fatherless kids try to throw a grenade in basic, and that'll vary. If you're a dad, teach your kid how to throw a baseball, please.
Oh my God. Well, the way they taught you how to throw a hand grenade in basic training was garbage. It was terrible.
Nobody
throws it like that. Nobody throws it like that. But yes, you're right. Dads.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Seriously. Or go to your nearest surplus store, get one of those decommissioned frags and teach them how to throw that. Get that muscle memory built in.
They're actually a lot heavier than I thought they were.
Oh, dude, wicked heavy. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing for me. I was like, what the hell is going on? Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
So actions when dismounted. All right, so dismounted, you're not a vehicle or anything. So everybody in the kill zone shouldn't, once again, shouldn't need an order or a signal. This is a battle drill. You should know how to do this already, right? Everyone in the kill zone immediately returns fire on known or suspected enemy positions, and they assault through the kill zone.
There's no need for talking guns here, folks. You just fire.
This is called a spendex.
Yes,
this is called a spendex, and we're gonna get into the you know, the dash roll worrying all of this. But spoilers, you shouldn't have a lot of ammo after this. You're spendexing. If you have grenades, you're wrong. Get rid of your grenades. You're in hand grenade distance, right? You know, your frags, your stuns, your concuss, your smoke, everything. Because the whole thing is, if you're dead, you're not gonna use it anymore.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for your ammo. You know, hit that blessed third click and just go to town, because you're in the worst of the worst situations right now. So
your one and only job is to get out of there alive.
You remember the end of Halo Reach?
Yeah, I was about to mention that, where the only thing was to
survive.
Just survive. Yeah, you're doing.
That's what React to Ambush is. Or your friendlies in the kill zone immediately without war or signal. Return fire on known or suspected enemy's vision. Seek cover. Throw all your grenades and assault through the kill zone. Like we said, don't worry about assaulting through. I know it's scary, but if you don't assault through, you're going to die anyways. There's no point in dying in a hole. Get after it. Yeah. Fix bayonets, baby. It's go time. We ride at dawn, which is right now.
Yeah. Yep. And he's not saying don't worry about it as in don't do it. He's saying don't worry about it because you're probably dead. So take as many of those mother effers with you as you can.
Yeah, I know that the human response is to not run towards the loud, scary light thing. But you're either that or they're going to assault through you and you're going to die.
Yeah. So, you know, newsflash, you're also carrying a loud, flashy assault thing.
Be usually louder and them. Angrier.
Yes. Speed,
surprise, yes. Violence of action. Get after it, baby. Friendlies, not in the kill zone. What?
I actually like to call it not violence of action, but overwhelming violence of action.
Yes,
like, this is violent. Where war crimes need to be done in these few precious seconds.
If you have a war crime stick, use it.
Yes. Yes. Slam fire that thing.
So if you're not in the kill zone, all right, if you're not fighting for your life down there, you're going to ride well-aimed suppressive fire on the enemy. So your guys are in the worst of the worst situation right now. Help them out.
Yes.
Yo, you have a better view of what's going on. You know, start taking those. You know, start taking them down. Try not to swear, but I really love this battle drill. This one's so much fun.
I love Battlefield 4.
And you know, the last thing, you know, your unit, all your friendlies assault through the kill zone and you destroy the enemy. Once again, as in, you know, the second battle drill, everything should be dead. Everything. Assault through.
I will say this. I'm going to emphasize this. As a civilian, the Geneva suggestions do not apply to you. You cannot be held to the Geneva suggestions. Only if you're in the military does that apply to you. If you're a civilian and you're assaulting through, triple tap
everything.
In fact, go back and cripple tap them again.
So the whole thing with an ambush, okay, think about it from the enemy's perspective. Okay, you are trying to fix and destroy the enemy, so you know, superior positioning, overwhelming, you know, fire superiority. You're trying to make sure they can't move, and then just mincemeat everything in there. The only way you're going to beat that, because you're not going to outlast an ambush. You won't. That's what it's designed for. That's what they want you to do. You will be destroyed. What you need to do, the only thing you can do in ambush, is assault through it. Be more violent. Have more overwhelming fire superiority and breakthrough. If you don't break out of the kill zone, you're done. Period.
the important thing to remember also is if there's an ambush, chances are the enemies have actually scouted that location and they have cherry picked it because there is no cover. There may be concealment, but there is no cover. So there's not going to be anything to stop those rounds from giving you lead poisoning. Like,
well, and the thing is, if you're
get out of there.
Well, and depending on if it's a hasty or deliberate, if it's deliberate, like all those gun teams, everybody has a range card. They have you dialed in.
Yes.
Like to a T. If it's a hasty, they at least have air positioning than you do.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, get after it. Contingency, mounted. Rather, with this is mounted. Yeah, so vehicles. So if you're in a vehicle, so your gunners open fire on known or suspected enemy targets, deploy smoke as vehicles move out of the kill zone. Read, get out of the kill zone. Get out of the kill zone. And then friendlies in the kill zone. In disabled vehicles, immediately dismount, find cover, engage the enemy. Gunners and friendlies outside the kill zone suppress the enemy. And once again, you are assaulting through the kill zone and destroying the enemy, or you die.
I like to call this battle drill the fuck around and find out battle drill.
Yep.
Because those that are ambushing you are fucking around, and it's your job to make them find out.
There's nothing I liked more as a 240 gunner than being in a deliberate ambush. Because literally, I could set my T&E to my left, to my right. And I knew that anything in there was fair game, and I could just go cyclic and just burn through the hundreds of rounds I was having to carry because I didn't want to carry them anymore. So, yeah, there was nothing I liked better as a machine gunner. Like, and anything in there was going to be dead. Anything.
As a saw gunner?
Oh, dude, I get to get rid of all these nutsacks. Like, bye.
Oh, my God. I didn't carry nutsacks, bro. They were straight up like 100 plus round drums. And I so would I just, would... you know what? I'm going cyclic.
Well, and I wasn't a saw gunner for long, but I had my, what I carried was a nutsack, and then I had the two, you know, the two drums on my chest.
Yeah, we.
But yeah, no, sucks to suck, nerd.
Going into deployment, we did not carry nutsacks. There was no point.
Yeah.
Like, just no point. If you're going to get engaged,
you. If you had to, I was going to say, if you had to use it, like, you're using the drum. So.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, well, no, that was like.
Bless his heart, my weasel, he was my favorite guy in the world, my weapon squad leader. But he made us work because his whole mentality was, if you're in weapon squad, you're the best out of the platoon if you're going to be with me. And then, like, once I got to be an assistant gunner, a team leader in the weapon squad, dude, there were times where I was carrying 600 plus rounds. Like, I would use the barrel bag. I would just roll them all in there. I throw that thing on my, oh, dude, so much weight. So, I tell my gunner whenever we set in, I'm like, look at me. We're not coming back with this. And yeah. So, all that to say,
yes,
you're in the worst possible situation. If you are in a kill zone, you are, be anywhere else but there.
Yeah.
Get out.
Be anywhere but there. Yeah. And that's the important thing, too, we were talking about. With vehicles, your job is to get the hell out of there. You don't stick around to engage them. You engage them as you were driving away at Mach Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So, and as you're moving away, you're not banning your dudes, right? You're getting to a better position so you can be firing on the ambush.
Yes.
And then once you get fire superiority, do the same exact thing that we've been talking about. Shift and lift fire, assault through, do all the things that you already know how to do, but you need to get that fire superiority. You need to assault through.
So. And best case scenario, even if there is a disabled vehicle, I mean, those other folks are getting to a better position where they can shoot into those into the ambushers, or you're setting up to do which battle drill? You're dropping off dudes to do battle drill one.
Well, one's a reactive contact. Remember, we talked about this last time.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. One alpha. Sorry. I keep forgetting they freaking change all of it.
They do. No, attack. You're setting up to attack. Assault through. Yep. That's what we're saying. Every time I say assault through, I mean attack.
Yes.
Attack by fire, baby. Get after it.
Yes. There should be no one left alive to tell the tale of you being there.
If anything else, just because screw you.
Yes.
Moving on. Battle drill 5. Knockout bunker. I didn't play with this one for too much, but I know that I remember it a little bit differently than what the Ranger Handbook has, but I like what the handbook's putting out in this. It makes a lot more sense, honestly.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So Battle Drill 5. The unit is moving tactically, while conducting operations. The enemy initiates contact from a concealed and, you know, probably up armored bunker network. All or part of the unit is receiving accurate enemy direct fire cue. You start taking fire from a bunker. Sucks to suck, nerd. Actions. You should probably kill that thing. Probably a good idea for you. Yeah.
Suppressing
fire. How do we do that? Hell yeah. So as in react to contact, right? So everybody in contact establishes a base of fire. They start suppressing the enemy. Get online, 3D, see cover and concealment, docking guns, all the things. At that point, your leader designates and directs an assault team to go and attack the bunker. Right? Covered and concealed route all the way to the very last bit of cover and concealment you can, you know, scrap to. And at that point, that team is going to break off into a buddy team. With team A, or team 1, let's say, staying in that last position of covering concealment, providing overwatch, okay, providing, you know, suppression, keeping those guys covered, and by team 2 moving to what the last, you know, the closest blind spot to the bunker as you can get. During this time, during that movement, of course, we're going to shift and lift fire. So your leader should be at a good point to where we can direct that, you know, that team and the squad that is suppressing. And as that team breaks off, so buddy one's going to be suppressing, buddy two is going to cover the exit. So at the entrance, we're going to kick off a grenade, 2 seconds max, yell frag out, and throw it in the bunker, because screw you for being in that bunker, by the way. Once that kicks off and explodes, your buddy at the exit is going to immediately go in and lay down some hate, kill everything in there. Buddy with grenade follows him. After we've cleared that out, we're going to mark it per SOPs. Leader's going to check it out, communicate with everybody, reconsolidate, and continue on.
Can't help but think. Every time I hear people talk about Battle Drill 5, I can't help but see Saving Private Ryan.
My gosh, dude, I was just thinking
Band of Brothers, The Pacific, every time, because those bunkers were crazy. Like,
dude, the pillboxes scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That. Like a slit in a mountain. And there's just a machine gun rolling out of there. Like, dude. Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. But that's why when we're talking about suppress fire, we're not just loading, you know, throwing rounds downrange. We are trying to be accurate, right? Because you could come up on a, you know, on a bunker where you have a, you know, a foot wide by maybe a couple inches tall to shoot into.
Yeah,
you saw them as small because they got a lot wider field of vision than you do. You know,
yes, it's they do.
miserable stuff. But
moving on, I mean, unless you have something else for it, because like I think Battle Drill 5 is very, folks, a lot of these battle drills are very much just a rebranding of Battle Drill 1 Alpha.
Well, it's building off of Battle Drill 1. Like we said, like we continue to say, this is stuff that is instinctual. You should know all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, this should be automatic responses. So the foundational stuff builds off and up. But
yes,
real quick, let's go ahead and take a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time, they're basically dummy proof.
And to help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strongmen Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. And now a word from our newest sponsor, Granite Rifle Group. Granite Rifle Group is a precision rifle company owned and operated by a USMC veteran. You've probably heard him on our show.
Granite offers turnkey rifle solutions built around your field use with plug-and-play upgrades available to tailor your rifle for your specific needs. GRG offers simple rifle kits or complete custom builds available to suit every need, from the weekend target shooter or hunter to the long-range precision rifleman.
Granite Rifle Group is all about putting high-quality precision rifles into the hands of Americans to extend the reach of the American rifleman. And when you use the code STRONGMEN at checkout, you'll get 6.9% off your order. Nice.
Nice. Check them out at graniterifelgroup.com or find them on Instagram at granite_rifle_group_LLC. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
All right, guys, we're back. So let's talk about Battle Drill 6, Enter and Clear a Room.
Here we go. This is... If you've ever been in the infantry, if you've ever been anyone who's taken mount training, this is your bread and butter. This is what everybody wants and fear is actually doing.
It is the once you're in sexiest that situation, battle drill.
Is it the sexiest battle drill?
Entering is it all the movies now? It is.
Yes. It's in the TV shows now, too. I mean, hell, there's even a video game now where you pretty much just do this over and over again, ready or not.
I feel like that needs to be... We need to find a way to make that an episode. Like the consequences of video games, like as it has to do with training or, you know, doctrine or mindset. I feel like that's a really interesting concept or idea. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah. We'll throw it on the list. Why not?
Real quick, before you get into it, though, I just want to make a note. So SOPs vary. We are going off the Ranger Handbook. Battle Drill 6 has many, many, many different variables. There are so many ways to skin this cat. There are hallways, short rooms, windows, closets, stairs. And this is built off the doctrinal fire team. Personnel situations changed. You know, if we're going off of the doctrinal fire team, it's going to look a lot different than if we had like our hunter killer team or platoon or company. I mean, like there's so many different ways to do this. Or, like you said earlier, doing it alone. Like there's so many different things that, you know, come to play. But this is the foundation. This is the doctrinal, you know, source, the idea. So take it for what it's worth. And if you need to build on it, build on it.
Here we go. So Battle Drill 6. Friendlies are ordered to clear a room. There are probably known or suspected enemies in this room, or you take fire from that room. On a side note, if you're in a striker with a grenade launcher or a 50 cal and you take fire from a room, you're going to delete that room. In fact, you're going to delete that entire floor.
If you're my 320 gunner, if you're my grenadier, I shouldn't have to tell you to delete the room.
Yes. Those rounds
should already be doing that.
If it's a two-story building, that second floor needs to become the first floor. I'm not joking, folks.
If you're a grenadier, and we talked about this in the roles, I think your whole job is open areas and making cover concealment.
Yes.
That's what I pay you for.
Yep.
Use the boomstick. Delete it.
Erase it.
If I am not like already by the door, if I'm getting shot through a window and I tell you to make it go away, when I go in that room, there shouldn't be a room anymore. I should be going in there just for posterity's sake. Do your job.
Anyway. Hey, we're getting shot at. Yeah, I know. Solve the problem. Okay.
Boom.
Boom. All right.
Boom.
Anyway.
Boom. Anyway.
You're ordered to clear a room. There are known or suspected enemies in that room, or you take fire from that room. What are you going to do? The leader is going to direct the team to secure corridors or hallways outside the room. Team leader then takes a position in the stack, normally the number two man, but again, your SOPs may vary. And he'll do that to best control the clearing team outside the room. Your leader then gives a signal to clear the room. First two dudes into the room are almost simultaneously coming. I can't stress this enough. The first two guys need to be so far up each other's butts and they need to split that it almost seems like they came through the door at the exact same time. If you do it quick enough, if you do it clean enough, there is no stopping that.
So the way that we were trained, at least the way I was trained in my squad, you technically did. So the way that we were taught to get in the stack, because this is what we're talking about. So getting in a stack, right? So when your leader sets you up, you know, by the door, you're staying up off the wall a little bit because bolts travel across walls or, you know, perpendicular to walls, right?
In RPGs. Parallel,
rather, in RPGs. Okay. Yep. But you should literally be able to... All of, like, you guys should be able to, when you're in your stack, you should be able to squat down and be sitting on your buddy's leg.
Yep.
Like, you should be literally that close together. Yep. And the way that we call it,
that's a butt.
Yeah. So our SOP did it. The lowest ranking dude is first. Sorry, Private. Sucks to suck.
you are the bullet punch.
You should be someone else. And then the team leader. And I did it that way because, one, I need to know what's going on. Well, I was thinking that's how I ran anyways. I need to know what's going on. And the way I would run it, so you're going to talk about, you know, what side everybody goes on. But the way I would do it, everyone's that close, right? Nuts to butt. And then I would have my hand, I would be holding on to his plate carrier, like at the nape of his neck with my one hand. I'd have my rifle on my hand on his, on his shoulder. Whatever side facing the room. And then when we went in, I would just push him out of the way. Whatever side I want him to go to.
Yep.
I just shove him over the way. Because that way we can both split off immediately. Because I'm already literally attached to him. I just no, go that way. And
no, that should be standard. That's the way we did it in every single platoon, every single team I've been in. That was doctrine. Number two guy is directing where the number one guy doesn't decide where he goes. Hell no. You may have it in your mind of where you're going to go.
There's a reason why you're the private.
Yeah. That number two guy is going to direct you where to go. Like whichever way he wants to go, he's going to direct you the other way. Nine times out of 10, it's going to be the way you don't want to go. Anyway. Yes. Back to what we were saying. So number one man enters the room, moves either left or right along the path of least resistance to one of two corners, assuming a position of domination facing into the room. During the movement, the number one man scans the sector and eliminates all immediate threats.
I know it's kind of cringy wording, doctrinally, but it is, you are taking domination of that area. Whatever is in front of you is dead if it's not, a non-combatant. If it's a command, you make it go away. And then you are like, that is your freaking life where you're looking at. Whatever your sector is, that is yours. You own it.
Right. And so, typically, you'll go into that room. So you're the number one man. 9 times out of 10, you're going to get pushed. Not path of least resistance, but definitely some resistance, meaning you're going to button hook. You need to already have it in your mind that you're about to button hook. Because ain't no way the number two man's going to want a button hook. But regardless, you're going to turn that corner. You're going to scan high. You're going to scan low. You're going to scan in the middle. You're going to get to that corner. You're going to turn, and you're going to advance a little bit into that room. Because why? You get the hell away from the back wall to allow for more people to come in.
Get out of the freaking fatal funnel. Get out of it.
The fatal funnel.
Everybody dies in a doorway.
Yes.
Everybody who stays in the doorway dies.
If you freeze in a doorway, I'm running you over. You are a doormat now.
Well, and think about it this way. So think about from the defending point of view. Okay. So just the way that your eyes work. Okay. You are going to see movement first. You're going to react to movement first. So someone busts open your door, right? Are you going to pay attention to the walls that are static? No.
Nope.
If you see movement through the doorway, you're going to start shooting that movement.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that doesn't match the backdrop of your now open door goes away. So get out of the faint of funnel. Also, yep. You said they push in a little bit. Yeah, typically we would push in like halfway into the room.
Yep. Usually the way we did it was anywhere from a third to halfway.
Yeah. I know this one's tough to visualize, guys. I am going to put in the images for this that we have, you know, per the Ranger Handbook, give you a little bit better of a visual. But you have to think, when you go to whatever corner, whatever side of the room, you are taking like along the wall that you are, you know, hugging all the way to the opposite corner. Like that sector, that triangle is yours when you're the number one, number two man.
Yep. So number two man, typically the team leader, and there's a room immediately. I can't stress this enough. Almost simultaneously, it needs to look simultaneously after the number one man heading in the opposite direction, which is usually the path of least resistance. So you're going straight in. Clears the sector of all immediate threats. It's the same thing as the number one. He goes in, looks high, looks low, looks middle, eliminates any threat in that corner. If there's nothing there, he immediately turns and advances up into the room. At the same time, this is not a quiet thing. This is not a quiet thing. This is very loud. Be calling out stuff. Like if there's a couch, couch. If there's a window, call window.
Door.
Hallway, you need hallway. Call hallway. Door. Yes, anything. You see it, you call it out. Everyone coming in there needs to know what they're facing before they even get in there.
Reason being, right? So you are entering through a fatal funnel. That window that you see is also a fatal funnel.
Yes.
So dudes need to stay out of, you know, that immediate line of sight when possible.
Same thing with hallways. Right. Same thing with other doors. They're still fatal funnels.
Yep.
So number three man moves in the opposite direction of number two man. So he follows the number one guy in. Whatever direction number one man went, number three man goes that same way. He clears his sector, typically behind and more towards the middle of the room than number one man. You got to keep good spacing for all this. Got to. The number four man, this is your special guy. Number four man moves in the opposite direction. He follows number two. He follows in number two. Basically, you're going to look at a line of dudes equally spaced in this room. Scanning. Just scanning and eliminating threats. Typically, if you don't have a follow-on team behind you, so if you don't have another fire team behind you to pull security, your number four man is going to then, as soon as he comes in, get out of the fatal funnel. Follow number two man a little bit across the room. He's going to then turn around, take a knee, and pull security on that door. All friendlies need to be engaging and destroying enemy combatants. They need to be identifying non-combatants and avoiding collateral damage. Guys, this is a no-brainer. Non-combatants need to survive. Like, I get it. You're going into a room. You're jacked up. You got to be able to discern between combatants and non-combatants. But, you know, if you don't want to avoid a war crime, just go ahead and do whatever the hell you want. Basically, guys, what you're trying to do with avoiding collateral damage is you need to try to preserve your intel. You need to try and preserve intel. You need to try and preserve the lives of non-combatants.
Hearts and minds, coin.
Hearts and minds. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I prefer, you know, winning hearts and minds with lead, but, you know. To just one of that. Anyway.
And then after you know, it's all said and done, you're going to count off all the dudes that you know just rolled through there. We were taught not to count 1, 2, 3, 4 because it's easy enough to remember if that's not your language, or if it is your language, you'll like, oh, there's only four people. So you designate whatever code for that: red, white, blue, America, states, whatever. Just so that you know that everybody has an up. So when I say an up, that's your laser port, your liquids ammo, or liquids ammo, casualty equipment. Nobody's dead, everybody's okay. That's basically all that is.
Yep. And of course, once everybody's accounted for, your leader's gonna call clear. And once they call clear, you're then gonna mark your room per your SOP. With us, it was usually cracking a stick and leaving it there.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like a wolf tail or a chem light or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
Then you consolidate and continue on.
Yep. This gets a little hinky if there's doorways or hallways, because then you're gonna get into some more fun stuff, but still nerve-wracking.
Dude, hotels, apartment complexes, hospitals.
Oh my god.
Like, so all of this, right? Because you have to think, all this is a couple seconds. Mm-hmm. And you're taking all this information, right? And you're being loud. And you don't know
this is not
where the enemy is, right? In the room, let alone in multiple rooms. Okay, this is an extremely stressful job. Because all that stress, all that activity in just one room. Okay, good job, buddy. Go to the next one.
Yep. Yep.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yep, until the whole building is cleared. Yep. So we won't get into the nitty-gritty of it, like, high lows, rolling tees,
run the rabbit,
all that, any jazz. Of that stuff.
Like run I said, the there rabbit, are so many, so many SOPs, so many ways to skin this cat. Figure out what works for you. But the gist of this is keep your security, and you need to be in control of the entirety of the room.
Yep. Oh. Probably one of my favorite things I've seen out of room clearing was that video you sent me a while ago. Camera angle was in corner of a room. Doorway was straight ahead, but it was on this wall to your right, off your right shoulder. Mm-hmm. Dude glances in real quick, notes where you are, and then immediately kicks in a chair. Because your eyes go to the movement. You're going to go to that chair. And as that, as soon as that chair comes in, he pops out. And you are dead. Like, that is awesome. I immediately put that in my repertoire because that is like, yes.
Well, it's smart. It's really smart. Or, think about John Wick, the first one, when he gets all those assassins called to his house and he's going through. Mm-hmm. He's already killed a couple dudes. He knows one dude's around the corner. So he silently reloads and then drops the magazine. Dude rolls around the corner because he knows he just reloaded, gets shot in the head. Or I think he, I don't know if he got shot in the head or if he, if he fought him hand to hand. But yeah, I mean, super cool stuff. But another one I really like is watching how people pie, like pie cores. Because I've seen some dudes where if you have time, you know what I mean? Like if you're doing like solo or buddy clearing and you have time, where you can get a good 80, 90% of the room without even going in. Like
The one thing I don't like about the whole like slow pie is like, number one, that is a fatal funnel. I get that you're trying to see as much of the room as possible, but if you're pieing that entire doorway, you're going to get shot. Time. Yeah. They know you're there. They know you're about to come in. They know what side you're now on. That's why I don't get the whole complete pie. It's like, you got one angle, cool. Just go in. In my mind, just go in. Like, you've already seen a good 25% of the room just stacking. Just button hook. Clear the rest of it. In my mind, at least. Why take the extra, like, why put yourself at even more of a disadvantage by pieing the entire doorway?
I think because the idea is that if you've already cleared it with a slow pie, then you're kind of eliminating those other areas. And then if you meet resistance, then you can assault through. You've already taken off however much percentage of the room.
Yeah. But I mean,
you know who's better at clearing a room than I am? a grenade. I'd rather work with that, honestly.
You know who's almost as good as at clearing a room as a grenade?
Yes.
The 240 gunner who just shoots through the walls.
Hell yeah.
Left to right, just clear it.
Just cut the whole room in half, because screw yep. you.
And anybody in oh. there. Because once and again, for, the Geneva suggestions are just for the military.
It doesn't count for you, because no one cares about you. You're a casualty if you lose.
Yes.
Any whistle. Yes. Now for a bunch of asterisks, a lot of side notes. So, yeah. So RSOB stated that if anybody had a malfunction in the stack, like as they're entering the room, you scream malfunction, you hit the dirt. You fix whatever's going on with your rifle. And then you wait, because you don't want to get shot in the back of the head while you guys are clearing or anything. So wait, a buddy will pick you up, and then you know, continue on. But that is the safest place for you to be if you have a weapon malfunction in the middle of clearing.
Honestly, yes. Because
all your buddies are falling behind you. You don't want to be, you know, keeping everybody stuck in a fatal funnel, and you don't want to be, you know, up waiting to get shot.
Fun fact. If you're doing high-intensity missions, like you stated earlier, use grenades. Surprise grenades. Frags, concussions, stuns, nine bangs, what have you, use them.
They're my phosphorus.
Oh my god, that might be a bit much. You know what? Screw it. That would be, dude. Holy crap! CS gas.
Oh, smoke! Oh my goodness!
Better. Oh my god! Throw a CS grenade in there. Oh my god!
And then throw a lighter.
Ooh.
Yeah, Waco that.
Wow, you went there.
Yeah.
All right.
Room clearing.
Anyway. If you're going to use
the hostage rescue team, the FBI is really good at that.
Dead bodies equate less paperwork.
They have awesome
if you're
baby ratios. Anyway.
If you're going to use a grenade, hook it, 2 seconds max, throw it in, and yell frag out. It doesn't matter if they know that a grenade's coming in or not.
It's still coming
they are in going to be so messed up. If they aren't dead, they ain't happy.
Yep. Pay attention to the building structure because, you know, shrapnel and stuff.
Yeah. Or, anyway. You know, collateral damage. Thin walls or floors. You can cause, like we were stating earlier.
Yep.
With the Mark 19, with the 320 gunners, with the 50 cals. Thin walls or floors can cause damage to the structure.
And the only people
these are non-combatants.
That's to say, the only people that get away with killing non-combatants is the FBI, and you aren't the FBI. So pay attention to that.
Or the CIA.
Or the CIA. Or the and ATF. If number one or number two man air room at short, those dudes yell out short or short room. And, you know, the other guys probably shouldn't go in there because it's probably a closet or, you know, once again, a short room. So stay outside, pull security.
That's pretty much it. God, I love these battle drills.
That's all I got. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. And is these are so easy to talk about, right? Because they build off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is, you know, once I say it all the time, this is something you should already know. You should already be doing. Right. And if you're just learning this now, you can see that these are, you know, building off that foundation. Right. So one thing that I see harped on online a lot is, you know, Battle Drill 6 is so much more than just Battle Drill 6, right? You have the approach, you have the building, you have all this stuff, right? But yet again, that's Battle Drill 1 and 2.
Yep.
If you're ordered to engage a building or you take contact from a building, you're going to be ordered to engage a building or break contact, right? What do you do if you're ordered to engage it? You assault through. What's part of assaulting through in a building? Battle Drill 6. I mean, this is all
Battle Drill 6
stuff. You know, this is all, it all runs together. So, if you have another way to skin this cat and you think it'd be good for everybody to know, you know, shoot us a comment on IG, on Spotify, send us an email, whatever you want, and we'll we'll push out for everybody. So until, I mean, what? Yeah, anything else?
No. No. Above all else, I'm just going to emphasize speed, surprise, and outrageous violence of action.
Violence of action. Because not only are you doing this for your life, but, you know, screw the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so until next time, guys, we are the Hard Time Strongman Podcast, sharing up a bear class man patience. Make sure to stick around for your post show. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.